Morning and welcome to Open Bible Podcasts again. We're continuing in Hosea's, the prophecy. We're in the section 4. We're running from partway through chapter 6 all the way up through chapter 11. And today we are going to read chapter 8, and we're going to continue this declaration of divine judgment that is coming upon the people of Israel particularly, but also of Judah. And we're really looking more now specifically towards this final judgment that would be fulfilled in 722 BC. And possibly again, these things are being declared by Hosea in the mid 730s, perhaps sometime in the reign of King Menahem or slightly thereafter. So let's read Hosea chapter 8. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, My God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good, the enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against thee. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also. The workman made it, therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles, as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them. And they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings, and eat it, but the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity, and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. For Israel hath forgotten his Maker, and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. We look to the Lord to bless that chapter to us. So here we see this clear indication of the coming judgment. Assyria under Tiglath-Pileser will come down and capture the people of Israel, destroy their altars and desecrate the land really, and take them all off into captivity. And we see this right at the beginning here, this the trumpet sounding again. We saw it earlier in chapter 5, I think it was verse 8 of chapter 5. We had this reference to the trumpet being blown. Here the trumpet is being blown again. And it's then that we have this clear reference. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord. I don't think this is in reference to the temple in Jerusalem. The context here is of Israel itself, the northern kingdom, Samaria, and those 10 tribes. I think this is a reference to the people themselves, the people of God. They are the house of the Lord. And that's a principle, isn't it? We see right the way through, even today in our New Testament, we think of the house of the Lord, the house of God. It's not a building, it's the people of God. It is among those people whom the Lord dwells. And that these people, they had been the Lord's people. He had deigned to dwell among them. But now they have transgressed the covenant, they've trespassed the law. And this is the reason judgment is coming. This is a righteous reason. This is not any sort of vindication or vindictiveness on the part of the Lord, but this is righteous judgment We see it again at the end of the chapter, where the Lord specifically says to them, I have written to him the great things of my law. Here we see that Israel had the law. They had the law of Moses, they had the covenant, they had the prophets who spoke to them of the law and called them to come back to a relationship, a covenant relationship with their God once again. And yet it says, but they were counted as a strange thing. And how sad it was that the people of Hosea's day, to them the law of God was a strange thing. Perhaps they heard the prophets preaching it, and it was a strange message. They didn't understand it. They were more used to their idols. They were more used to their rituals. They were more used to all of that. And it was just emptiness. But the reality of living for God and giving God his portion in their life was completely foreign to them. You know, we're not too dissimilar, are we, in our own day, where we can go out into the streets with the gospel and we can seek to speak to people, and sometimes you get those expressions of just ignorance, and people don't really know the gospel at all, and they wonder at this message that you're proclaiming. It seems so foreign, so strange to them, and they've never heard this before. It's a strange thing. And people have no knowledge of the Lord. And yet, you know, isn't it an interesting thing that in those moments of great need, when tragedy strikes, suddenly people are very quick to call on the Lord and to call out to God. That's what's going to happen here, Hosea says in verse 2. He says, Israel shall cry unto me, and they shall say, my God, we know thee. And yet the Lord will not listen. He will not hear their cries. There will be no answer. Why? Because this cry, this prayer is not a sincere prayer. Oh yes, if anyone comes and cries out to the Lord with sincerity, from the heart, the Lord will be quick to answer. Lord, save me. Immediately, there is an answer. But in this case, this cry is a hypocritical cry. The people have no love for the Lord. They have no interest in his word. But yet, in a moment of great trial, they're looking for anything that will save them from the tragedy. Anything that will let them get back to their own way of life. Their old way of life, the pleasures and the enjoyment and the selfishness of that, anything that will let them get back. And if the Lord can deliver them from that, then, oh, they'll be quick to cry to the Lord for that moment, but then they'll just forget him again. You know, that's so true of today, isn't it? As well, when people have no interest in the Lord, no interest in the Word of God, no interest in living to please the Lord or to be in obedience to his word. But yet when tragedy strikes, oh, there'll be a cry to the Lord. And they'll pray. Take away the tragedy. And what are they wanting? They're wanting that difficulty to be removed so they can go back to their own life again. There's no real true calling after or seeking after the Lord. No, this is just a selfish cry. It's a hypocritical cry. My God, we know thee. Israel has cast off the good, and the enemy shall pursue him. And then it says that they of Israel, they have set up kings, but not by me, says the Lord. And you see, we're down in the days of maybe Menahem, maybe even after Menahem, and from the ending of Jeroboam the second, you remember, that was the ending of the line that God had appointed. God had appointed Jeroboam the second's forefather Jehu. Elisha had gone and anointed him, an anointing from the Lord. He would reign, and all the way down to Jeroboam the second, and then his son for 1 month. But following that point, in about 745-46 BC, There have been kings that have risen up. There have been princes that have been ruling, and yet none of them had the none of them were from the Lord. This was just man seeking power, seeking riches, and there was this bloodshed, and this turnover of kings and powers, and that's what happens, isn't it? When we set power as our goal, it leads to bloodshed. And sadly, that's where we are today again in our world. Many are seeking power. And all this critical race theory and critical theory and so on, these are Marxist ideologies. It's all to do with gaining power. But it will lead to bloodshed. It will lead to violence. And that's what we see, isn't it? What we saw last year, particularly in the States, with all of these riots. Then we go on, verse 5, "Thy calf, O Samaria, has cast thee off." Here, Hosea is really mocking Israel's idolatry. Israel had forgotten the Lord. They were worshipping their golden calves that they'd set up in Bethel in the south and Dan in the north. And Samaria here, the capital, used as a symbol of the people as a whole, they had turned and they had been worshipping these calves. And the Lord is almost saying, well, call upon your God. Call upon your calf. If you want salvation, call upon the calf. And then in mockery says, no, your calf has cast you off. But then the Lord says quickly, my anger is kindled against you. How long will it be? Again, you see this thought of that. Remember, the whole book started with this love story, the love of a husband for an unfaithful wife. And Hosea was just longing for his wife to come back to him. And the Lord here, even in the midst of this judgment, there is this sense of this longing for them to come back again to him. But he says in verse 7, with this very famous quotation, "They have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." And really just the idea of that, of again another country scene, and what you sow, you reap. And there is multiplication in that. You sow a few seeds and you reap a great harvest. And there is this growing in the result. And of course the idea is that ideas have consequences. The things that we do one day will reap for us a harvest the next day. And you know, this is a very famous little statement. It's you can look it up on the internet. "Reap the Whirlwind," I think, is a title of a number of novels, none that I've ever read, of course, but there they are. Number of them have this title, "Reap the Whirlwind." And indeed, there was a British RAF marshal, air marshal in the Second World War, who quoted this in reference to Nazi Germany. And he kind of called them, talked about their naive strategy of thinking that they could bomb Europe into submission and no one would bomb them. And he says, they've sown the wind, now they're going to reap the whirlwind. And they're going to reap much more than they ever sowed. But this is a truth. This is a truth. It's a truth of scripture, but it's a truth of reality. Whatever we sow, we reap. And with the chaos that we find ourselves in today in 2021, in many ways we are reaping the whirlwind of seeds that have been sown decades ago. And we see rampant immorality around us. We see foolishness and confusion all around us. And there was something in the news I just saw yesterday, I think, or today, maybe this morning, something to do with the Labour Party, and one of their MPs had made a comment or had liked something on Twitter, which was to do with only women have cervixes. And you would think, well, yeah, of course. I mean, that's the biological fact, isn't it? And yet the Labour leader could not bring himself on television to agree with that statement. He said, no. He says, no, we shouldn't say those things. And he took a very kind of a very sort of middle of the road nothing kind of position. But this is where we're at, aren't we? Where we can't even stand up and just declare something that's scientifically, biologically sound. Oh, no, 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 no. And we're just reaping the whirlwind of seed that has been sown decades ago. This is what happens when we turn away from the Lord and turn away from the Lord's word. And what's going to happen? Well, it doesn't end there. We see here with Israel, it says Israel is going to be swallowed up. Israel is going to be swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel. They're going to be taken off into captivity. They have played with fire and they've got burnt. That's verse 9. They've gone up to Assyria. They've sought help from Assyria. But now Assyria is going to come and take them captive. Well, the chapter ends there at the end with this very sad statement that Israel has forgotten his maker. And we could say in our own country, in our own land, that our own society has forgotten their maker. They've built temples, yes. It's not even Israel, even Judah. They've built their fenced cities, trusting in their own might, trusting in their own power, and not trusting in the Lord. And the Lord says, I'm going to send fire upon the cities. And so there's just that little thought towards Judah as well. Maybe not to the same extent as Israel, but they're following in the same direction. Not trusting the Lord, trusting in man. And that is going to bring destruction to them. Now, it won't be a while for Judah yet. It'll be some time before that actually happens. But the Lord, through Hosea, is just preempting that and warning them not to trust in man, but to trust in the Lord. Let us take that lesson to ourselves today and in everything we do. Let us seek to trust in the Lord. Let us seek to follow his word. It is for our blessing. It is for our good. It is for our salvation. Let us turn to the Lord and not forget our maker. Let us think of the words of the wise man there in Ecclesiastes. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. That's the wise thing to do. Where Israel found themselves was foolish, and it brought destruction upon them. So thanks again for listening, and we trust these thoughts are a blessing to you, and talk to you again. Bye.